Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
What the f*** is going on?
I like to party.
Jesus, honey, wax much?
From Podcast One, this is Unwaxed.
Get in, loser, we're going shopping.
With Sophia and Sistine Stallone.
We just become best friends.
Totally. Yep. Butchered that one, but...
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Unwaxed with your favorite sisters, Sophia and Sistine Stallone.
Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a beautiful Tuesday.
I hope your weekend was wonderful, and you're going back to those Zoom calls, those 9 to 5s.
I hope you're on Zoom.
With a smile on your face, at
least.
With
a hangover in your body.
Feeling good, because definitely Sistine and I are.
Hungover, is that what you're trying to say?
For the past couple, no, I mean... we don't drink often and go out. I mean, also it is a quarantine and we can't really do much, but.
Is it weird that I look forward to the hangover because we really never go.
Yeah.
We never know. It's not that we never go out because we can't go out, but it's, we never drink.
Yes.
And for a 22 and 24 year old, I was like, you know what? I need to have more fun because when I drink, I am fun.
She is fun. I'm fun. Together. We're fun. It's crazy. No, but it's funny because we said before here we're in Florida, so it is totally different regulations. I mean, we do follow the guidelines according to location, but in Florida, restaurants are open. And so I would like to just call out Sistine for giving someone my number. Oh, ladies and gentlemen,
hold on.
Not just a person I know, it's someone I don't know that I didn't want to give them my number.
Hold on. I need to explain.
And now they won't stop calling me.
No. See, I know the Unwaxers will understand where I'm coming from when I explain the story, obviously. Let me set the scene. There's this cute little kid following Sophia around like a puppy.
Pause. Cute little kid. Cute little kid.
Need I remind you, I'm a few drinks in. We're ready to go home. This kid follows Sophia outside. And he goes, you look like Jessica Alba. First of all, what woman wouldn't want that compliment? So I'm over here like melting on the sidewalk. Oh my God, that is so cute. Sophia goes, ew.
And this is the thing. So she just thinks he left the place just casually just to tell me I looked like Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
When in fact, 5 minutes before that, when I was walking to the restroom, he comes up to me and goes, do you think I'm hot? I go, I like your outfit. And then he goes, want to make out?
Oh my God, see, I didn't know this.
And I say, sir, no thank you, but have a nice night. So I leave.
So we leave. I didn't know this happened, right? I thought, oh my God, someone complimenting you, how cute. Plus, I want to say, now that I know he did that, I respect the boldness. I do.
You respect the boldness?
That's where we're different. See, I wouldn't want a guy to be like, let's make out. But I like that comes up to you and says, do you think I'm handsome? That's funny.
That's weird.
That's pretty funny.
That's kind of an odd question. So yeah, I mean, look, was he very confident and forward? Yes. Do I respect it? Sure. There is a limit to the confidence, though.
But let me just give some context. I'm not throwing your numbers out here. Let me give context. We're outside now. Ready? We're waiting to go home. He's talking. Sophia's sort of just keeping to herself quiet.
Because I'm not interested.
As a responsible sister, I start grilling him. Because I need to know, what's this kid's deal, right? So I'm asking him 100 questions. I'm like, what's your sign? Where are you from? What's your job? Do you got any brothers? What's your shoe size? What are you wearing? Tommy Bahama. I'm asking him everything, all right? And Sophia's like, no, not interested. He follows us to the car.
No. He doesn't follow us to the car. I leave the situation. I'm letting her talk to him because I'm like, you know what? I'm not interested. I want to go home. I've had 3 cocktails.
But
I'm good.
To me, he's saying really nice things about you. And I like to hear that.
Sistine, let's just say for what it was. You thought it was funny to give him my number. And so even though he's a nice guy, he won't stop calling me.
I thought he deserved it.
This is what's annoying. And I actually was, and I'm being, if we're going to be unwaxed, I was super pissed off at her because I was really pissed off because it's my personal number. It's not something just to give out, for one thing. Two, I never said I was interested. Sistine just said he's super nice and funny. So here you go. This is for you. And 3, now I get up and I wake up to text messages. What are you doing today? Hey, what are you doing today? He calls me. Oh, this is the best part, you guys. And this is a friendly reminder to those out there. If you ever consider dating us, this is the one thing you should not do. The first sentence, first of all, I didn't put his number in. So I just answered the phone and it ended up being him. It's like, hey. Like,
oh, well, that's your fault. You shouldn't answer numbers you don't have saved.
You never know. Sometimes I kind of like answering the random numbers because it could be interesting. But I answered the phone and he goes, I just have to say before I start talking, I had no idea your dad was Sylvester Stallone. Like, my uncle and brother and grandpa's passwords are all Rambo and he's going on. And look, I have to say, I don't want to sound bratty because it is, I really do appreciate it. I agree. My dad's a badass. He worked hard for, and I'm glad he has fans. I'm glad he was one too. But if you think that's a good way to get my attention and for me to say yes to go on a date with you, not a good move, buddy. But overall, he is nice. He was very forward and confident. Great story now, but now he won't.
I would like to interject really fast. In my head, drunken state of mind, I thought this could be the start of something new. All we talk about on the show is how single and how sad we are and how we want to meet cute.
Okay, so we have a super, super fun guest coming on. Her name is Caitlin Bristow. She was on The Bachelor. She did Dance with the Stars. Super cool, great girl.
She's hilarious. I am so excited to meet her.
Yes, and this conversation I know is going to be great, so stay tuned.
You guys, she is the Dancing with the Stars champ.
Woo-hoo.
Was on season 11 of The Bachelorette. She's a podcast host of her very own show called Off the Vine and has a wine club and label called Spade and Spares. This is the beautiful and hilarious Caitlin Bristow. Ladies and gentlemen, yes!
Can I clap for myself?
Absolutely.
We'll put sound effects. We'll do it all.
Honestly, when I was writing this out, I was like, oh my God, she has her own wine label? I had no idea.
That's a dream.
It's literally probably my favorite. It's the one thing I'm the most proud of and my favorite thing that I've ever done because I'm obsessed with wine. And it's like,
How did you get into wine?
I honestly used to work at a restaurant like I did for about 10 years. And I was trying, my goal, I was like, well, I had to give up on dancing when I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. Then I went through a relationship breakup. I came back. I was like, I'm going to work my way up in a restaurant. I'm going to become a GM. That's what I'm going to do. And I loved learning about wine. I always got to learn from like this incredible sommelier. And then I had to teach people about wine and wine pairings and know everything about it because I was training servers. And right. I just fell in love with wine knowledge. And I lived in Vancouver, which my parents had a lake house in Okanagan, which is mm-hmm. wine heaven. And so I just loved it. I fell in love with everything about it. And when I got a podcast after the show, it was, I mean, around drinking wine, I was always drinking wine. And I was do something about this where I'm like, I have my own wine label.
That's awesome. So, would you consider yourself a connoisseur?
No.
Why not? I would say so.
You know, I heard that the test to become like an official wine connoisseur sommelier is super, super hard.
It's insane.
I've read that somewhere recently.
There's a test?
Yeah. You have to like be able to smell a glass of wine and know like the year and the region.
It's
and
insane.
The grape. It's next level. So I'm honestly really not picky. I mostly like all wine. I'm starting to become a little bit of a wine snob with my
It's okay. We say we're coffee snobs.
I'm a snob with everything
gum.
I even drink.
We're so snobby with our gum. Everything.
Gum is a big one.
Gum is a big one. If it's not the
you come at me with bubble gum in your mouth, get away.
I hear that actually. I hate the gum that's like sandy. I'm really into the Mentos.
That's the one.
Girl, that's the number one.
Maybe I'm a gum connoisseur.
She gets it. We literally are obsessed with it, but we're so jealous because I was thinking about how much wine you probably got to taste, even just go through.
Yeah,
just having all these testers at your house and like thinking, how did you think of Spade and Sparrows?
Okay, so first of all, that is a fun part of the job, but it gets like almost your mouth turns raw from tasting so much wine that you're like, I don't even know. Like, I had to switch my cab that I picked to a completely different one because the next day I tasted it and I was like, ugh, I was like, I don't even like that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I was just oh my like God.
Something in the day. don't do that. Because if you get too drunk, then you're like, oh, why did I pick that one? That was stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
But Spade and Sparrows was Honestly, I was sitting in Napa at this place called Goose and Gander. It's one of my favorite places. It's just this little hole in the wall. And I was just trying to come up with a name. And I was sitting with my business partner and my girlfriend. And we were like, let's just write down every single thing that comes to mind, whether it's like an inside joke with my mom or my friend or something like reminds me of myself or like my tattoos or anything. And so we're just writing down, we had a list of like hundreds of words, and we were actually going between, because my grandma used to always call me Kiss Me Kate. And so I was like, oh, that's a cute wine name. And going back and forth. And then I had a spade. I love playing cards with my family. It's every time I go home, we play cards for hours and hours and hours. And I always love the spade in the deck because it's the strongest suit. And so I had that word written down.
That's smart.
And then I have my tattoos and sparrows, and they're the bird that remember how to fly home. So I was just connecting a couple things that I was like, spade and sparrow sounds pretty badass. And
it does.
Kind of stuck.
That's, I feel like I could never, it's like getting a tattoo. Like I would never be able to decide on what to name something, what to get.
I wish I was more like you. I just fucking go. I'm like,
no, I wish I was more like you.
Wait, what? Well, how many tattoos do you have?
I think I have 11, but they're all.
What's your favorite? What's your least favorite?
Okay, well, my least favorite is definitely, I have teardrops tattoo here, so I could go. So stupid. I was like,
that's what I would get. I would get a finger mustache and just do, that's what I would do.
Between the finger mustache and a tear. That's, I don't know why I ended up going with a tear. I got stopped at a border once and like almost couldn't get back into Canada because they thought I was like a drug dealer.
Oh my God, that's right. I was like, wait,
kind of gang related, but okay.
I know. That's probably my worst one. My favorite one is probably, you know what? It's my rose that I have on my arm.
Oh, beautiful. That. Well, our middle name is Rose.
So we always thought, should we get a tattoo with like Rose for us or something?
Oh my gosh, we coffee you with the rose.
Yeah. You should. I never in my life thought I would get a rose tattooed on me after coming off The Bachelorette. I was like, fuck roses. Sorry, can I swear on this podcast?
Yes. Oh God, we do.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah, fuck. I was like, I never want to see one again. And then after a while, I was like, okay, you know what? That was a pretty pivotal time in my life that opened up so many doors and experiences. And like, I stopped being so negative about it. And I was like, I'm going to get rose tattooed on me.
Oh my God. You know what? That's such a good transition because I have so many questions about the show, more so what happens logistically. Like, for example, one of my questions is, when you are at the first rose ceremony and there's so many guys there, how do you, I have a theory.
She says this every single time she watches the show.
How do you remember everyone's names? And this is my theory. Every time. And I see this, we're watching Matt James. Is that his name, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he does this too. And I notice this with a lot of them. Every time before they say the name out loud, they pick up the rose, they look down at the stem, and then they look up and say the name. And I'm convinced the name is on the rose because
absolutely.
No. Well, because how do you remember?
That would actually be a lot easier. I don't know why they don't do that. But it's actually just like the magic of TV where you go in, you say four names that you have memorized, and then you go back into a back room and then pick another four. And then you come and say those four. And then you go back and you keep doing that. Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
That does make sense.
They just edit out the parts where you're leaving the room. But it was so funny because I'll never forget some of the names I'd call. I'd be like, I have no idea who Ryan is, but I know I'm calling his name. So that's, I think, sometimes why you look down, you're like, Ryan. And then the guy walks forward, you're like, oh, right, that guy.
Oh, no, yeah, because I'll go, Ryan, I'm over here. Oh, Ryan. Yeah.
That's probably why we're looking down.
That's so funny.
It's like you're not nervous. You're just like waiting for someone to walk up before you look up.
Who is it? I don't remember.
That is so funny.
Oh, God.
So we've had a few old Bachelor contestants come on the show, and I ask all of them the same question. Mm-hmm. What did your life look like before joining the show? And like, what was the final straw that made you sign up?
I mean, it was, I was dating this guy who I totally thought he was the one. I moved to Germany. He was a hockey player. And I was.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You went to Germany for, and hockey players? All right.
I did. I'm that girl. I did it. And
love that.
I was living in Germany, just like the most depressed I've ever been in my life. I did myself like of my 12-year-old self. I was a child. I would like cry over everything. I'd have hissy fits. I couldn't hear people's like conversations and I couldn't work. And he was always gone. And I had no friends there. Oh my gosh. I was such a shell of myself and it sucked. And so we ended up breaking up and I came home and I had always worked in the restaurant industry because I always wanted to be a dancer. So I was in ballet my whole life. I moved to Vancouver from the small town I grew up in to dance with a company there. And I thought that's what I was going to do, but I wasn't good enough. Let's just put it out there. And then I chased a boy. And then when I came back from a breakup, I was like, I have no apartment. I have no money. I have no job. I have no education. I have no career. I was like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. I was miserable, but determined. So after I was like, you know, I was rock bottom there for a while. I was living with my parents. I was like crying every day. Couldn't get out of bed. And eventually I
How old were you at the time?
I was 27.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I was like, I just have to start over. This is awful. But I was like, I'm going to move my way up in the restaurant biz. That's just what I'm going to do because that's what I can do. I know I'm good at it. I know I'm capable.
And you set a goal. I think that's really important.
Yes. Yeah. And I did. And I went for it. And I just worked my way up in this restaurant. And I was confident in that industry just because I'd done it for so long. And my girlfriend was convinced I should go on The Bachelor. And I always wanted to do something like I'm a risk taker. I don't worry too much about failure. I'm like, I'll do whatever. Like, I'm very spontaneous. And she was like, we should get you on The Bachelor. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Then I could like build something and like have an empire.
Yeah,
and like,
right.
In my head, I'm like, I'm not going to find love, but maybe I'll find a career. And
that's honestly, I feel like that's really smart.
Yeah.
That's a really smart way to look at it.
I mean, that's why everybody does it.
Everyone does it.
You hope to fall in love. You hope to find that. That's obviously a bonus if you can. But yeah, so I was working at a restaurant. I was teaching spin classes and I was working with this organization called Raw Beauty Talks, which if you don't know what that is, you should definitely look into it. Is that a puppy in the back?
Sorry, my mom. Mom, she just goes, someone got bit by a catfish on our dock and he passed out.
Mom, the ambulance is coming
right now.
Oh my gosh!
Unwaxed.
Never know.
What's happening?
I'm really sorry.
Mom, why should I be laughing at someone's like going to the hospital?
I just cannot believe this is happening. I'm really sorry.
Where do you guys live?
So this is long story short. Our parents moved to Florida, and LA is totally closed. We live in LA.
Oh, okay. So we've been here for like 2 weeks, yeah. And apparently someone just got bit by a catfish.
There's so
I don't even know.
Florida
you could pass
is the most chaotic place. There's like iguanas. People are getting bit by catfish. Like everyone goes out. It's really stressful. Oh, it's like COVID's not a thing here. We're all stressed out 24/7.
That's sweating wild. Now.
It's like
I'm really sorry.
Over there. Oh my gosh.
It's such so another one.
Sorry.
Let's go back to what you were saying. I'm so sorry.
Everything's going to be okay. It's this organization called Raw Beauty Talks. My girlfriend founded it, and it's pretty much like celebrating women's bodies and all different shapes and colors. And she's really, really, she's been through it in her life. And so she speaks from experience, but she's in a whole other place now and she helps so many people and it's incredible. And I loved what she was doing because I had some pretty serious body dysmorphia from growing up in a ballet studio. And so I was always like really vulnerable with her and wanted to help what she was doing. So it was really cool to actually go on the show, have a platform and then be able to like share her page and what she's doing with so many people because people have really, really liked her content. So it's cool.
Oh, it's so cool.
So your friend convinces you to join.
Yes.
And you apply, you obviously get it.
Well, I didn't at first. I was supposed to be on Juan Pablo's season and they didn't call me.
Oh my God, Juan Pablo, dork.
I know.
Oh my God.
I'm in disguise. But then they called me and I went on.
Oh my God. Well, all I remember is when you were on, because I didn't really watch the show that much. And I remember I think it was like yours was the first season I had ever seen. And you stuck out in like the best way possible.
Oh,
because I feel like every female there was very cookie cutter, trying to act as if like they're going to be the perfect wife material. But you were just funny and raunchy and yourself. And
you're
this is amazing.
This is the girl.
This is amazing. So obviously it worked out in your favor. But I feel like the process of doing the show can be, you know, you don't get final edit. And I feel like a lot of situations are manipulated.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time where, you know, something was put out on TV that wasn't, you know, the truth of what actually happened or what you wanted to do? And you sort of were put in a position where you're like, fuck, I have to do this.
I'm pretty lucky with what they put out on The Bachelor. I was like, holy shit, it made me look like a psycho. Like I have such a weird sense of humor. And like, I like to chirp other girls and I like to like poke fun, but that could have been like,
me.
And that's the process. Like, you know, if they edit it the right way, you could possibly look like a real
terrible.
Bitch.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh no. Cause the first night on night one, I'm watching the episode and I'm like, uh-oh, I am for sure going to be the asshole this season because that's episode one. They like showed me and making raunchy jokes and saying inappropriate things. And I was like, not giving a fuck about anything. But I was actually really fortunate because I felt like they really did show who I really was through the season. But on The Bachelorette, there were so many times where I was like, hey, I did not say that. I was saying that about him. And I was talking about this. I was actually crying about my family, not him. Like so many things.
So many.
The whole controversial, like me having sex before the fantasy suite, that was totally blown out of proportion. I'm not going to deny it because it still happened, but it was blown out of proportion.
Right.
So many things. But I mean, you kind of expect that and you sign up for it too, because that's reality TV. That's not just The Bachelor.
Yeah. You handle it so well. And actually I was asking my sister, I was like, what other reality show would you be on? Other than like Dance with the Stars, you just did that. What other show? It doesn't have to be involving like The Bachelor franchise.
Oh, that's Big Brother. Big Brother and one.
Really? You know, my girlfriend was on it from high school.
The last.
Yeah, Annalise.
Annalise Talvera?
Yeah.
Wait, yes.
She had the boyfriend, what's his name?
The soccer player. She's kind of like seeing a guy that was super tall. He kind of looked like Jason Momoa-ish.
Yeah.
Yes. I've never seen Big Brother, but she was like the only one I knew on.
Wait, I'm pulling this up. Tell me, how do you spell her name? Do you know?
Yeah, it's Annalise. Annalise and then Talavera. She's going to love this.
I know. Hi, Annalise.
No, she's
cool. Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she was so sweet, actually.
She's sweet. We actually went to high school together. And so that's funny that you mentioned that because I actually had never seen the show before. And then I'm like, oh, my God, this is like the Truman Show. Oh,
yeah, it is.
I don't know why I want to go on it because I would be so exposed with all of my – I'd be like plucking chin hairs and people would be like, you're disgusting. Like,
That's the thing. I didn't realize that you go online and it's 24 hours. Like, you can watch it even when it's not on TV.
I don't know why I want to. I like the competition aspect of it. I like the head of household. I like – I'm really competitive. I feel like you have to have a good social game to move – to get really far ahead. I just feel like I would enjoy it, but I'd also probably lose my mind being
I think you would absolutely win though.
You totally would win.
Oh yeah. Because you have to be very smart with your words. Like you're very strategic. Like you love to just like go into it, but I can tell you're very like, okay, I make moves.
Eye on the prize. You're like, I know what I want.
Yes, that is me. Thank you.
Good. So I want to talk about your current relationship with Jason. And I sort of feel like, you know, do you think you would have met this person had you not started the show? Like probably not. So it's sort of like the stars aligned in a weird way. Did you ever rewatch your season with Jason?
kind of.
Oh my God.
It's so funny because you say the stars align. It was the wildest thing I've ever experienced in my life. I am such a like, such a nerd for like crystals and manifesting and like believing in the universe. I read books and I just read this book about paying attention to signs from the universe. And it's called Light is the New Black. It's incredible. And I was listening to it kind of to get through up and I was like, oh, everything's going to happen for a reason. And I later on met Jason I was podcasting with him and I didn't think twice. I was just like, oh, that guy's great. He should be the Bachelor. Like some girl's going to be really lucky to have him. And I didn't think twice about it, but I had just walked. How do I explain this? Sean, my ex, we had a dog Tucker and I still was getting Tucker sometimes. And I took Tucker for a walk. And I remember looking at the moon and saying, just like, I need so many signs right now to tell me I'm going to be okay. And it was like the weirdest thing what happened to Jason and I, like we were texting each other like the same thing at the same time. He told me I reminded him of Nala from Lion King, and I was watching Lion King on the plane while he sent that, and he was watching Lion King at the same time. And then all these weird things kept happening. Then I go to get in an Uber and the Uber was late, and he was like, I'm so sorry I'm late, but I made a wrong turn, and then I passed the car of my dreams that I'm saving up for, and I think that's a sign from the universe, and you got to pay attention to those. And I was like, yep. And then we almost hit a dog, and the dog was crossing the street and he was like, oh my gosh, I used to be so afraid of dogs, but I have one now and I love her so much. I was like, oh, what's her name? She's like, Nala. And I'm like,
shut up.
So many things. So I actually
can't ignore the signs.
No, and there was like hundreds more. Like it, we got to a point where we're like, this is actually weird. Bought him a picture of the skyline when the night we met, when the stars actually aligned.
Oh, that is romantic as shit.
And I'm not romantic.
Talk about we want that stuff to happen to us.
But I don't know where to start, whether like you're just like the ultimate romantic, like
I'm not.
Like, I think you put it out there though, because that's what you wanted. Because you know, that whole energy thing when you put it out there, you want something to happen. Like somebody should, like we're big on that. We used to like do vision boards and like like we love reading about manifesting stuff, but I mean right now it's kind of
You guys
but...
I see like little clips here and there on Instagram, and you guys are so on TikTok, like so cute
Please
together.
Tell me you're having a baby soon.
Oh, you know what's so interesting is so we talk about this all the time because I've like had baby fever for probably 10 years now and I ain't getting any younger.
You're going to be such a good mom.
Oh, I feel like I was put on this planet to be a mom. Like I cannot wait. And I hope it happens for me. Oh my gosh. I've had so many friends, you know, people I know that struggle with infertility and like it breaks my heart and I hope it's in the cards for me. But, I've told Jason that I've like had baby fever for so long and he's really set on having kids. He just is very traditional and wants to do it the right way where I'm like, I don't care. I'll have babies to get married and then like,
I mean, my mom had me before the wedding and
she's a little bastard baby.
I'm not mad at bastard baby.
You're not a bastard.
I'm not mad at that. And he was just like, I think it was a few nights ago, he was talking to a couple of his buddies who are like ready or one has one. And they were like talking about the pros and cons and they're like, but all the cons, like the pros outweigh, like it's just so worth it. And Jason was like, I just don't feel like I'm ready. And he keeps banking on the fact that I have my eggs frozen, but I'm like, that's not a guarantee. That's like a backup plan. And like, you know? And so last night I'm very much like, I used to never be like this. If my boyfriend went out of town or something, I'd like start getting insecure or I'd be like, why aren't they calling?
Right.
I've never been like that once with Jason. He's just, I feel so safe with him and nobody's ever really made me feel that way. And so he was like, I was just letting him go do his thing. He was drinking with the boys. He was going to the football game and he was doing whatever. And he started messaging me out of nowhere being like, I think I'm ready to have kids.
Oh my God. You manifested that too. That was you.
I have like a little fetus in my vision board right
now. Wait, hold on. I feel like they don't make men like Jason anymore.
They don't.
Do you have
any friends for us?
I know.
Please help us.
Like, does he have a brother? I'm like, yes, but his brother is gay and married. He's truly like, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are things I could bring up of things that I want to put the dick for. But on like the other hand, he is quite close to perfect.
That's amazing. And honestly, you deserve it because you put it out there, you wanted it, and it came back around full circle. One of the cutest things that I saw you guys do together, or actually that he posted, or maybe you posted, was his reaction to you winning Dancing with the Stars. Literally, I showed my mom, I showed my dad, I showed the dog. I was like, this is the cutest thing ever. Yeah. Like, I need a man to support me like that. Like, I want to talk about that whole process because even today on our walk, what did I say? That I want to do Dancing with the Stars. Thank you for listening to me.
Wow. She's been saying this for a while. Sorry.
Anyway, I would love to know because you were a dancer. You said you did ballet, right?
Which I had no idea. I didn't know you were a dancer before.
Yeah. My mom was a professional ballerina and then I did ballet growing up. And then I more went into the hip hop side of things. I loved doing hip hop classes. I was part of a hip hop company. I was like, I am going to be Janet Jackson's backup dancer. Like that was my whole plan.
Yeah.
But the Dancing with the Stars, it's so funny because, and not to like harp on my old relationship, but I just never felt supported or like I had a hype man or someone that was like, oh my God, you're killing it. It was kind of like, I was made to feel guilty for certain things. And I was like, when I went into a relationship with Jason, I was like kind of hesitant because I was like, I'm like really independent. I really like doing my own thing.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm on a roll right now and I've got a lot I want to accomplish. And like, I need somebody that's going to be super encouraging and like not emasculated, like super secure. And that's exactly what he is. He's just so secure. That makes him the ultimate hype man. Because when I got asked to go on Dancing with the Stars, like, his reaction was just as genuine as mine. And he was like, and he just like couldn't believe it. He kept looking at me and like, oh my God. Like, he was so happy for me. And then, you know, he had to pick up his life, move to LA. He had to live in this tiny little apartment during COVID, like in a bubble, taking out the dogs in an apartment like every 2 hours. Wow. Our dogs were having accidents there.
And such a trooper. Work.
And every night I'd come home, he'd just have a glass of wine on the table for me, like dinner. He'd rub my feet. It was incredible. He was a really – I really give him a lot of credit for my win, because I don't think I could have done it without him.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, I think having that – that person to back you just makes the whole experience worth it, because you get to share every experience with them, you sharing the win with them. And I think that's so cool. But you brought up an interesting point, because I sometimes find that men are often threatened by women that are independent and on their own.
Yeah, that's kind of like how we are.
Yeah. So we'll have our businesses going, we'll have our ambitions, but they get threatened by it.
Yeah.
And you sort of prior relationships. What advice can you give to someone even like us that's dealing with stuff like that?
It's so hard, because I don't know if it's like how men were raised because of their parents' generation, or if men are just wired that way, or if they just like, there aren't many secure guys out there who are like established in their own shit emotionally, financially, and in all those ways. So I feel like it's, you kind of got to wean out the shit ones. Like I don't have crazy negative things to say about my exes, but I definitely didn't have the type of guys who were like so secure and level-headed in themselves that they could celebrate a woman's success. And they always had that, like almost like a brainwash that they had to be the provider.
The provider. Yeah. No, I know you mean supplier, provider, all of them. They do the shipping, the packaging, they do it all.
Yeah. They do all that. But yeah, I think it's about finding a guy who's just so secure in himself, who is established in what he's doing and is able to like lift you up and celebrate your wins. Because I don't know why that's so hard to find. It's sad.
No, it's hard. And then we always say, we're like, you don't need to be the CEO of like Apple or something, like something absurdly ridiculous. If you have your own passion, your own thing that you're,
it's
like you go and you're ambitious about, that's enough for me. It's like, and I think that's enough to make you secure. It's
maybe just, that comes with age as well.
It probably is maturity thing.
Yeah.
I really think it does. There's a whole like scientific something out there about the frontal lobe and how men's frontal lobe does not develop until the age of 29. And that's the decision-making part of the brain, the whole shebang. I swear that's true.
Because I know we've been, I mean, I'm only 24, she's 22. And so the guys that we go out with that are around our age, we're just like, we're dating someone that's 16.
But I feel like I date like a 70-year-old woman. So I need someone at least 77.
No.
Like you yourself, you feel like an old woman?
Yeah. I know. So in you? Life, hold on.
You're not, I'm the, what are you talking about? I'm
okay, like, you can be the old soul. I'll be the middle-aged soul. Okay.
But like, no, I feel like our maturity level with dating is much older, which is like what we are looking for.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe Palm Beach has those guys. We'll look around.
We're trying. Have you ever thought of doing like a spinoff show with Jason?
I mean, I go back.
I got it.
I think what?
Caitlin and Jason have a baby.
I think about this stuff all the time, because I'm like, would I want to do that and put my relationship under my microscope? Because I've been in a situation where all of a sudden you go overnight from like nobody knowing who you are to everybody knowing who you are, and it puts a lot of pressure on you. And it put a lot of pressure on my last relationship, and I get scared. So I think I'm a little jaded about that. But I mean, again, that was out of my control. We would be able to have like the creative control of our own shows.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know.
It is nice though seeing your guys' relationship, because it does make girls also look at it and go, or even guys go like, that's the relationship I want. So there is positive benefits to starting it, because then people can watch and be like.
But I get scared that everyone will think I'm mean, because I'm like on my period or something, like I turn into the devil. And then I'm like, what if they catch me on a couple bad days? And I'm like,
see, I get all of the comments on the podcast are like, Sophia's really nice. This dude's a little mean. I'm like, I'm just sarcastic and dry. And
I know it's hard to land with certain
people.
Yeah.
We thought it'd be really fun to play a word association game with you.
I love this.
So
we'll do it really quick.
We'll do it really quick. So think of the first word
when that comes to your head. Yeah. Ready?
That's where my filter gets me in trouble.
This is, we're unwaxed. We're unwaxed. Okay, yeah, you know? This is great. Ready? Big.
I was literally gonna say Ben, like Big Ben, but then that sounded like I was talking about a guy.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's fine. So big.
Ben.
Wine.
Me.
Love.
Dogs.
Drunk.
Me.
Thirsty.
Victoria from the season's Bachelor.
Yes. Anyway.
There we go.
Fake.
Boobs.
Crunchy.
Cereal.
I was going to say like my hair. Crunchy. Happy.
What was it?
Happy.
Oh. Jason. He's very happy.
I love that. Beef.
Beef?
Beef.
Barf. I don't know.
Purple.
Dinosaur. Barney.
Awesome. That's Barney. Good, good. Yeah. Sweat.
Okay. One word? It has to be one word?
No. You could.
I sweat the bed last night. You know when you're hormonal and you like wake up soaking wet and you're like, what the fuck? I sweat the bed.
Yes.
I sweat the bed the other night when I was drinking tequila. I woke up. I was like, what the hell?
Every time we drink tequila, we wake up in the middle of the night like hot flash.
Really?
Crazy.
Yes. I don't know why.
Yeah. We got to switch it up. Maybe bourbon. All right. Here we go. Nasty.
Beef.
Delicious.
Wine.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Boring.
Sober.
And unwaxed.
My vagina.
There we go.
Oh my God. What?
Does everybody say that?
No, you know what? You're the first person we asked, so we love this. Yeah. She's like, oh, fuck this.
We're like, test run. Let's see how it goes.
Oh, my God. That was you played that game the best so far, by the way.
You're so happy.
Really?
Yes. You gave the most honest answers.
Oh, I thought they were so lame. I'm like, I could have done better.
No, they were hilarious. No. Okay, we'll do another one next time.
Yeah, I love word association.
You were so much fun. This is literally probably one of my favorite interviews.
I know, you were so much fun.
No, yes.
Thank you. That's so nice.
It's sometimes you get people on and they don't exactly give, you know, as an interviewer, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to get. And you're just so lovely and nice and funny and... And I know a lot of people listening are going to love you. So we really appreciate you coming
on. That's very sweet. Well, I'll have to have you both on my podcast because I feel like you're the kind of gals that my girls would love to.
Oh my God. We'll be there with the wine.
Love to.
Yes. We'll have a wine date podcast. Let's do it.
Oh, I love that.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Tell Jason and the dog I say hi.
I will. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy being bit by catfish.
Oh my God.
From all of us here at the show, thanks for staying unwaxed.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Be sure to download new episodes every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or PodcastOne.com. Follow your hosts at Sophia Stallone and at Sistine Stallone. And be sure to follow the show at Unwaxed Podcast. Your producer is Will Sterling. We'll see you next week.
If you thought you had to travel far to savor the pad thai of Bangkok, or to taste the pastries of Paris, take another look. With 2x total points at grocery stores, your same kitchen can come with more cuisines. Sapphire Preferred from Chase. Make more of what's yours.
Valid up to $1,000 in purchases per month from November 1st, 2020 to April 30th, 2021. Account subject to credit approval. Cards are issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
You stay home for the greater good. Secondhand smoke doesn't. It drifts through cracks in walls, air vents, and sink drains, spreading toxic chemicals that can damage lungs. Secondhand vape also puts your lungs at risk, even with the fruity smells. Protect yourself and the people around you from these secondhand dangers. Learn how at tobaccofreeca.com.